Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Well, as the old saying goes, one swallow does not a summer make, but thousands of them certainly do. Around this time each year, large numbers of these long-distance migrants stream into Ireland from their African wintering quarters to nest in our barns, our sheds, our porches and our garages. They are beautiful to look at, supremely agile in flight and happy to share our buildings with us. All qualities that have helped to make them one of our favourite birds. On this special edition of Mooney Goes Wild, I'm joined by self-confessed swallow nuts Jim Wilson, Terry Flanagan, Eric Dempsey and Niall Hatch for an in-depth look into the lives of these fascinating creatures, including their migratory journeys, their unique adaptations, their foraging behaviour and their nesting habits. Now, when you see a bird as small and light as a swallow, it's hard to believe that they fly thousands of miles every year. But that's exactly what they do. And it's all in an attempt to avoid ever experiencing winter. Swallows are perhaps our most famous summer migrants, and those currently arriving back into Ireland have all just flown here directly from southern Africa. Eric Dempsey, we will start with you. You made a documentary about swallows some years ago for Mooney Goes Wild, titled From Egg to Africa. So you know all about that journey.
Oh, migration. I could speak for hours and hours and hours, Derek. It's my favourite subject. I remember when I was four or five, standing in the Botanic Gardens with my dad, and we were watching swallows swooping down on the ponds at the back of Botanic Gardens, taking a drink. And my dad saying, imagine these birds have come all the way from Africa. And here I am now, at the age of 60, looking at my swallows each spring and saying to myself, with that sort of same childlike sense of wonder, imagine these birds have come all the way from Africa. And that's exactly what they do. You think of a swallow, it's what, maybe 18 grams, which is about half the weight of a bag of potato crisps. And the birds that you're seeing flying around the areas now have flown up to 10,000 kilometres to get here. They will have spent the winter in southern Africa, as far south as the Cape of Good Hope. And the mortality rate for young birds is very, very high. So perhaps 80 to 90% of the young birds that migrate in the autumn will not make it through their first year. So it's a very high mortality rate. But the birds that return are successful birds. Not only have they overwintered in South Africa, but they have returned on a 10,000 kilometre journey. And think of what that journey is. They will leave southern Africa, head along the northern and the western side of Africa, moving up over subtropical, tropical and equatorial Africa. They then cross back over the equator, heading north. They will then move again through tropical and subtropical Africa, and then they hit the Sahara Desert. Ahead of them, vastness spreading to the horizon. Now, many birds that migrate and do big sea journeys, for example, pack on fat reserves. They will shrink their organs to allow for fat reserves to be placed on their bodies. But swallows, they eat as they go. They don't undertake that same physiological change as some other migrant birds do. But they do need to stock up before they undertake that incredible journey. They head out across the Sahara Desert, perhaps 3 to 4 days flying. But in their head, they have a map. If they've been successful flying across it, they know the route back northwards. And that route may include small oases where they can drink, stop off and freshen up. If they successfully get across the Sahara Desert, our birds hang a left around the Atlas Mountains of Morocco. They then fly across the Mediterranean. Now, I have been in Mallorca many years ago, and we witnessed thousands upon thousands of swallows coming in off the sea over the Mediterranean. And they were exhausted. They had hit a northerly wind, and many birds must have been lost at sea. But we were picking swallows up off the road, to prevent them from being hit by cars. They were exhausted. Once they get into mainland Europe, the birds, our birds, will then move up along France and then fly out across the open Bay of Biscay and they reach Ireland. Now think about that. A little bird with a brain the size of a pea is able to find its way back to Ireland. But not only that. Once it reaches Ireland, it does something even more extraordinary. If it was born in Offaly or Westmeath or Wicklow or Dublin, not only does it come back to Ireland, it will come back to the same county it was born in. Not only that, if a swallow was born in my shed here in Newcastle in County Wicklow, that bird, if it survives, will return back to the same shed in which it was born. Males tend to come back to the same shed. Females tend to stay within a general area. They don't come back to the exact same shed. I've met a swallow, Derek, that was 10 years old and it had returned to the same barn 10 years in a row. Can you imagine that? This bird was capable of navigating across the entire globe to return back to the same barn that it was born in. And of course, the question is, how do they do that? I suppose I love the fact that we don't really know. We have a good idea. They use the stars. They have a genetic understanding of the stars at night. They watch the sun. They know east and west. But they have an invisible map in their brain. Birds that have flown south for the first time will take maybe 8 to 12 weeks to get to South Africa, because they keep stopping off to learn the way and take in all of the signs and the signals of that route. Coming back, it only takes them about 3 weeks to get back. They are able to recognise mountains and rivers. They are able to recognise countries. And once they get back to Ireland, they will recognise your local village, maybe your church steeple and your shed. It's also believed that birds like swallows are capable of seeing the magnetic fields of the earth. So these birds, as they fly low over the ground and low over the water, they are actually following a path that is invisible to us. The magnetic fields creating lines that these birds are able to understand. They're able to understand the height of the sun. These birds have been doing this for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. And we're only beginning to get an understanding of it now. And if that doesn't blow your mind, nothing else will.
Well, it's extraordinary. Whatever about them making their way back to the barn or the shed in which they were born, Eric, it's the journey from Ireland to Africa in the first place. How do they get there? Are they following somebody? Because they were born in our barn in Ireland, and yet they go to Africa without ever having been there. That's what blows my mind, more than them returning.
I agree with you, Derek. That is the most extraordinary thing, because it's the young birds that leave Ireland. They will have never taken this journey before. But they are not shown. They're not like Brent geese that travel with the parents and the parents bring them to the exact spots where they should be feeding for the winter. Young birds move ahead of the adults. So if you have the first brood of young swallows, they will be fledged and gone and beginning to move south while you as adult swallows are having your second brood. And if you remember, Derek, some years ago, I did the wonderful documentary From Egg to Africa with yourself. Mm-hmm. When I went to South Africa in early November, I expected to see nothing but juvenile birds because they would have moved ahead of the adults. But what I was seeing were adult birds. And the South African birders explained to me that the adults arrive earlier. The juveniles, even though they have flown from Ireland ahead of the adults, are overtaken by the adults because the adults already know the way. They have the map in their brain. They've been there. They've done that. They know exactly what they're doing. The young birds, on the other hand, are much slower reaching South Africa because they are learning the route. But like, what drives them to this? Is it the shortening of the daylight hours? Is it the realization of lack of food? Is it something deep inside them, a primeval drive to migrate? When I was young, Derek, one of my ambitions was to speak Swallow. I would love to interview a Swallow. And at 60 years of age, I have a microphone in front of me, and as I'm speaking, there's two swallows flying up and down the fields just in front of my house. And I'd love to call them over and say, sorry, excuse me, do you mind me asking you a few questions? Like, how do you do it? And what I love is that we have all these theories, but truly, it's still a mystery. How can a young swallow know instinctively that it must fly south? And how does a young swallow know it must go to places like South Africa? Other birds like house martins, sand martins, they don't fly as far as Southern Africa. They stop short of that. Their journeys are a little bit shorter. So how do they do that? How do they know that? It's still the thing that captures the imagination.